Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Against the Dolphins, Buffalo held the Dolphins at 23 yards rushing in the game. They got 7 sacks, most since a loss at Houston last year. Jordan Phillips got one of them. He has 7 sacks this season. Phillips leads all NFL defensive tackles with his 7 sacks. Things were good on offense, too. John Brown, big game. Josh Allen now with 5 games without an interception. He now has 13 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He's run for 7 touchdowns also. They did get injuries. Ty Insecki left the game in the third quarter with an ankle injury, left on a cart. Saran Neal left the game in the first half with a concussion. Head coach Sean McDermott will hold a news conference later today, 4 o'clock, maybe updates on those. Bills now 7-3. They're home this Sunday against the 3-7 Denver Broncos, 1 o'clock here at New Era Field. Broncos with another tough loss. They were up 20-0 at halftime in their loss at Minneapolis against Minnesota yesterday, and they lost it 27-23. Broncos held the Vikings to fewer than 50 yards of offense in the first half, but it didn't matter. They gave up all kinds of yards and all kinds of points in the second half. Monday Night Football tonight, the NFL returns to Mexico City to Estadio Azteca. Kansas City and the Los Angeles Chargers tonight at 8:15, looking to put their best face forward after the game last year was moved to the LA Coliseum because of field conditions. The field's okay tonight. Kansas City and the Chargers in Mexico City. DeAndre Hopkins of the Houston Texans says the league needs someone new to decide pass interference calls upon review. First quarter yesterday, Texans lost to Baltimore. Marlon Humphrey appeared to grab Hopkins trying to make a play in the end zone. No call on the field. The Texans challenged it, and the no call was upheld. Houston turned it over on downs. Hopkins said, "We need someone new in New York deciding calls." Tua Tagovailoa is scheduled to have hip surgery today after being evaluated in Houston. He got hurt last Saturday in their win over Alabama's win over Mississippi State. And the Sabres home against Minnesota Wild tomorrow. There you go, the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our Seneca studio in Orchard Park. And we have our usual Monday visit here with the man who calls the game with me on Sundays, former Bills center Eric Wood, joins us on the line right now. Good afternoon, Eric. You made it home okay. That was you were all over the place this past weekend, right?
I was. I left Raleigh at, 6:30 flight. So I got up at 4:45 in Raleigh yesterday morning and got back to Louisville about midnight and got to my house about 12:30-ish. So it was a long day.
Long day, long weekend for you. How are you feeling? You good? You ready to go?
All good.
Hey, we've been talking a lot about this game for the first hour of the show, and I know you have a lot to weigh in here as well, Eric. The special teams issues were an issue, which may prevent us from saying it was a complete team victory. But, boy, offense and defense looked as good as they have really all season, I thought, yesterday.
Well, and early on in the game, the special teams looked great, too. The Dolphins, after 2 kickoff start drives at their 10 or inside. So those were huge plays early for special teams. But then, obviously, with the kick return and the surprise onside kick, in that surprise onside kick, I wish – I would have asked Sean McDermott about it in this pregame interview I did with him. I did it before the first one, knowing Danny Crossman was facing off against his former team. He coached in Buffalo, I believe, 6 years. So he was there a long time.
3 different coaches, yeah.
Going against his former team, familiar with the personnel, and he took a shot and it paid off. But as far as the game goes yesterday, offensively, I thought the Bills executed extremely well. I loved the game plan. John Brown with another huge day. He's over 100 yards. Josh Allen with over 300 total yards, not over 300 yards passing. He gets that first pass of the year traveling over 20 yards through the air. So he gets that monkey off his back. But I just thought overall the message going into the week was play fearless. And that's what Sean McDermott kept talking about. And I thought a couple of throws Josh Allen made, especially the one where his play action, he's rolling out to his right, throws it back across his body into the end zone to John Brown. That's, you got to be a little fearless to do that. That ball gets tipped too. I mean, that's a risky throw, but it pays off for 7 points. That's playing fearless. And I thought defensively, the message also hit them as well. Play fearless. They called a fearless game plan too. Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds both set career highs for most times rushing in a game in the same game. So they brought both linebackers a number of times on I think it was three third downs. They put seven guys at the line of scrimmage, lined everybody up there twice. They all out blitzed Fitz once they bailed on it. So they were able to apply a ton of pressure. You see on that play right there, Ed Oliver comes scot-free because they bring both linebackers up in the A-gap. Fitz is under center, and they don't squeeze one of the guards down. Well, the running back can't get to his responsibility in time, and Fitz just gets crushed. So that was just an excellent game by the Bills defense. They completely dominate them. They hold them to 23 yards rushing, and that was the big deal coming into this week. And the Dolphins kind of started this trend this year, you know, going straight at the Bills in the run game. And would they be able to stop them this time around? I understand the personnel is a little different at running back this time around, but the Bills defense did an excellent job. They end up giving up 135 yards to Devontae Parker. But when you have a 3-score lead for a majority of the second half, you're simply playing bend but don't break, because you know they don't have enough possessions in the game to beat you.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about, certainly you're right that offense and defense had that attitude of playing a little bit more fearless, like the message was. Did you think the coaching staff, with the play calls, both offensively and defensively, the game plan, there's been some talk about Daboll going upstairs to call the plays from the booth up there. Do you think the coaching staff got that message as well?
I do. And defensively, I saw the most pressure I've ever seen in one game out of a Sean McDermott, Leslie Frazier coach defense. And I think defensively, that's something they should stick with. Keep the offense on their heels. Make them game plan for a lot more. And the Bills are so sound in their scheme. And that's why they're third in the league in defense. But when you show the consistent looks over and over, it becomes easier to game plan. Now, teams still aren't scoring many points. You know, they lose last week against Cleveland. They only give up 19 points. You know, that's a winning effort in this league a lot of times. So, and they actually scored 2 points as well, forcing the safety. But, you know, the Bills coaching staff, I believe, got the message of play fearless, call a fearless game plan as well because of the amount of pressures they brought. And then, you know, yesterday Brian Daboll was up in the booth, and I mentioned this during the broadcast. When he's up in the booth and they line up in the no huddle, that gives Brian Daboll the full all 22 view of the field, and he can essentially – he has 20 seconds – to get in Josh's headset. So you see Sean McVay do this a lot with Jared Goff, especially early in his career, was helping him with the checks in his headset. You know, that was a conversation that they had publicly. Well, I would assume Brian Daboll was doing some of the similar stuff to Josh Allen, and maybe that cover two hole shot that they checked to John Brown, maybe that's Brian Daboll helping out Josh Allen up in the box and says, hey, cover two. Hey, it's cover two. Josh gets the check. He had already told John Brown on the sideline. We heard that from a post-game comment from John Brown, that if they got cover two again, he was going to the hole shot to John Brown, and that was the first 20-yard plus in the air completion for Josh Allen on the year. What a strike that was.
Yeah, it might have been the thanks to the 20-plus yard throw in the air, the first one of the season, has to do with specifically with Daboll being upstairs. That would be something I doubt that we'll get Brian Daboll to admit to that. But still, nevertheless, it's probably a change they'll probably stick with given the success they had offensively.
Yeah, definitely. I would imagine we're going to see more up-tempo the rest of the year. When the Bills' offense has been at its best this year, it's been in two-minute situations and in the fourth quarter. Well, in those situations, a lot of times they're no huddle. Josh Allen likes getting to the line early. He likes to be able to analyze the defense, get them in an advantageous play. Who wouldn't? Well, I think the best offense is when you can consistently mix that up. The Bills have shown this year, you know, obviously they can go out of the huddle. Last game, they were really successful in the up-tempo. Well, now you get teams similar to the Bills blitzing more last week. Now you get teams, okay, now we have to prepare for this no-huddle offense. Also, they can get in the huddle, and they can bring in 22 personnel with a fullback and two big old tight ends. You know, the Bills can attack you in so many different ways, they become really tough to prepare for.
We're on the line with Eric Wood, color analyst on the Bills Radio Network, former Bills center. Josh Allen clearly had a good day, and you have said it yesterday. You've talked about how you saw maybe some improvement in the way he sees the field, recognizes what he's seen from opposing defenses. What did you see there, Eric?
You know, yesterday, like he does a lot of times, when it's man-to-man, he goes to John Brown a good amount. He also attacked Cole Beasley in the slot a couple times, or went at Cole Beasley in the slot a couple times, attacking mismatches that he likes. And, you know, I just think Josh Allen this year has progressed in a number of ways, and sometimes it doesn't show up in the stat line as a 300-yard gain. You know, I think that's not something that we need to just fixate on, is this 300-yard gain. You know, I was reading Twitter after the game, and people are saying, well, shoot, Fitz threw for over 300. Why can't Josh? Well, you know what? I'll take a 37-20 victory and a 250-yard performance through the air and 50-something on the ground all day with zero turnovers. You know, I just think yesterday was probably his best job, maybe of his entire career, of making some risky throws. And I say risky where, you know, I mentioned the one throw back across his body in the red zone earlier, and then he takes that whole shot. Well, the whole shot to John Brown, there was no underneath receiver. And as Steve knows, a lot of times to get that whole shot, you need a slot receiver out there to be able to hit that hole because that holds the corner. Well, Josh just ripped it and threw it over the top of his head. Not a dumb pass by any means. You know, he knew he could do it, but it's still a fearless throw to mimic Sean McDermott's message of the week last week.
Yeah, I was going to ask you as well, what do you make – Steven Hauschka bounced back after a tough stretch of games where he was struggling to hit kicks. He hit a 51-yarder to start the game. And I think if you're like any other – if he's like any other player, and I think he is, that 51-yarder to start the game probably set the Bills up for a lot of success and probably did a lot to ease his – whatever tension he carried into that game. That first kick, a kick of that magnitude off a natural surface is always a coin flip. But to hit it like he did, man, I think that set him up for a successful day.
Absolutely, and you know how it is when you got things working against you. Sometimes just getting that monkey off your back gets your confidence back. I mean, in 2017, I know with kickers especially, it's year to year, and they can hit a bad streak, and you never know what's going to happen with them. But in 2017, when I was with Steven, he set the franchise record for most consecutive 50-yard plus field goals made, and so. To get to this point where guys are ready to get rid of him after, you know, a disappointing Cleveland performance. And look, Steven was disappointed himself. He was warming up like crazy yesterday, yeah. Making sure no matter what, he was going to right that wrong. Me and John and Sal were having conversations all through the pregame about how many kicks Steven was getting up out there because he was going to make sure that he got himself back going in the right direction. And you're right. You're absolutely right. As soon as he hit that 51-yarder, hopefully for the rest of the year, he gets his confidence back. But one thing you always have to consider whenever you're critiquing a Bills kicker and you're looking at his percentage, and Steve, you've dealt with specialists in Buffalo, you know, a lot longer than I have. It's probably the toughest place to kick in the league. And as mental as all these kickers are, and I say that kind of as a jab towards them and kind of as a compliment, because when your whole job and your livelihood can come down to one play a game, you know, it's a tough position to be in any line of work. But they're so mental that you have to have the right mentality. You have to have the right guy to kick in Buffalo. And that's why they extended Steven Hauschka before this season, was because they feel like they got a guy that can kick in the elements in Buffalo.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, that when this game started out, the Bills' defense really squashed the running game of Miami. Whether they thought back a month ago that Miami blamed Miami for all these teams trying to run it and having some success running it or whatever, but it certainly looked like they had a chip on their shoulder for Miami's running game. But one of the things I want to ask you about is one of the we've always talked about their defensive rotation. Yesterday, they rotated Levi Wallace and Kevin Johnson a little bit. They both kind of split 50-50, 48-52%,
yeah.
Whatever. It's 50-50 split for those two guys at corner. What's that tell you about going forward where they have, you know, they must have guys they have some faith in. They had a pretty good day yesterday.
Yeah, definitely. And Kevin Johnson's an experienced corner in this league, a former first-round pick. He's long. He's athletic. Give him a shot. See what he can do. Levi Wallace started off the year extremely well, and he's been struggling a little bit late. That's documented. There's quarterback rating stats and completion stats against them that prove it. You know, the last time they were in Orchard Park, Fitz targeted Levi Wallace a tremendous amount. Now, this time, luckily, he didn't have to deal with Preston Williams, the 6'5", 225-pound receiver from Miami. He's out for the year with the ACL, but you know, yesterday you saw him go to Allen Hurns a good amount when he was matched up against Levi Wallace. But you know what, when you have a cornerback like Tre'Davious White on the other side of the field, the other guy's going to get attacked, period. The right. Better mismatch is almost always going to be the other guy. Well, Levi Wallace started off the year extremely well. He's hit a little bit of a rough patch. See what you got behind him. See what Kevin Johnson can do on the outside. Put a little competition out there, and you got to be careful because you don't want to crush Levi Wallace. But Levi Wallace, I would assume has a mentality. He's been the underdog his whole life. He didn't start till his senior year at Alabama. He goes undrafted. You know, he's got that underdog mentality. I'm sure he's not down in the dumps about rotating. He's probably saying, I need to step up to the challenge.
Eric Woods, our guest. He's a color analyst on the Bills Radio Network. Called the game with me yesterday down there in Miami. So the Bills had a healthy rotation at right tackle, which may be in jeopardy now with the injury to Ty Nsekhe. Maybe Coach McDermott lets us know later today how serious that injury is. Are they set up okay if Nsekhe has to miss some time or maybe even longer, Eric? What do you think?
Yeah, and you're going to roll out Cody Ford, and he's now 3 weeks removed from the elbow injury that had him sit out the one game. He was a healthy – he was on the field dressed in case of emergency, but they held him out. And
right.
I mean, that's why you play them both. You know, you wanted to get Cody Ford reps, even though early in the season, yes, Ty Nsekhe was playing better ball, especially in pass protection. Cody Ford, maybe the better run blocker of the two of them as I analyzed the film, probably has a little bit more natural power. And Ty Nsekhe, 6'8". Show me a bunch of really good run blockers at 6'8", and I'll be impressed. But Ty Nsekhe's been excellent for the Buffalo Bills in pass protection this year. I also think his veteran leadership amongst the team was excellent and amongst the group up front. And now it's time for Cody Ford to step up. And you know what? I'm sure this was where we were segueing, but he's got a really tough matchup this week. And early in the season, Cody Ford struggled with the speed rush. And a lot of guys do earlier in their careers. Cody Ford played some guard, played some tackle at Oklahoma. You know, now he's exclusively on the edge this season for the Bills. And a lot of that is because John Feliciano is playing so good at right guard. You know, Cody Ford was playing some right guard through training camp with Nsekhe at tackle. Well, tell you what, John Feliciano is playing like a man out there this year. So when you combine that with everything else, you've got an experienced tackle in Cody Ford. He's got roughly half the snaps this year, but now it's time for him to go. And at some point in every rookie season, you say, hey, you're not a rookie anymore. You've got enough experience, and now's the time for Cody Ford.
What about first, one more thing about yesterday's game. You mentioned how you met with Ryan Fitzpatrick pregame, and he said he felt pretty good. Did you get a chance to check in with him after the game? He got hit a lot yesterday and got sacked 7 times.
Yeah, he did. The Bills got after him. 7 sacks for the Bills defense. What a performance by them. I actually really enjoyed Ed Oliver's comment, too, that he's still waiting for his first real sack. You know, he got one on the double pass, and then yesterday he goes unblocked. I just, for me as an offensive lineman, it's refreshing to hear a defensive lineman say that, because normally that guy gets up, celebrates,
right. Yep.
and you know, like talks about how good he is and all that. You were unblocked. But, you know, and as we see the replay there, he's excited, and he's pointing to his teammates, pointing to the bench. You know, they're getting fired up. But it's not like, you know, he did, you know, the J.J. Watt nail in the coffin after he got a sack coming completely unblocked. But, yeah, I talked to Fitz before the game yesterday. You know, one of my best friends, absolutely love that dude. And I think Bills fans still have a tremendous amount of respect for him and the way he played during his time in Buffalo, and he'll always be loved in the Buffalo community. And when he came up for my injury press conference last year, Bills media swarmed him, and you know, he's just an extremely likable guy. But yeah, so I talked to him before the game yesterday, and he said, you know, there's some seasons you get dinged up early and it feels like you can never get healthy, and there are some seasons where you got a string of good luck. And he said, I've had some good luck, and then I checked on him last night. He said he's still feeling good, so that's good, because you know, obviously as many times the Bills were able to hit him yesterday, you have some concerns over how he's going to come out health-wise.
One last thing for me, it's about going forward. The Bills hold the top wild card spot in the AFC. They play the Denver Broncos coming in this week, and it's interesting too, because this defense for the Denver Broncos, the Bills are number 4 overall in yards allowed. The Broncos are the Bills are number 3. The Broncos are number 4 in yards allowed. This may be one of those 6-3 games here in Buffalo that you know, it's going to be one of those nail biters. But at first glance, this is a tough matchup.
For sure. And I looked at the forecast. I think it's a high of 39. So, yeah. you know, that ball will be cold. It'll be slick. Hopefully we can keep the wind out of there. Otherwise our boy Sal is going to freeze down the field. It could be. And it's a battle of two really good defenses. You mentioned 3 and 4 there. Denver, I believe, is number 10 in the league in scoring defense. Buffalo's at 3. Third downs, I was comparing them this morning. Both really good third down defenses. Just a number of statistics where they're both in the top 10. So it will be a good matchup. Hopefully the Bills can bring some confidence from the last game. And also with this hurry up offense, maybe they, in regards to what they did on offense yesterday, loved all the 11 personnel through this season. I don't know the exact yards per carry, but I would bet that the yards per carry are significantly higher for them in their 11 personnel. It's just tough to run the football in this league when you have so many big bodies out there. Well, yesterday, almost exclusively, John Brown, Cole Beasley, Isaiah McKenzie, Tyler Croft, or Dawson Knox at tight end, and then Devin Singletary or Frank Gore in the backfield. Well, when you have McKenzie on the field, you always have to respect the fact that he could always come across the formation in a jet sweep. They also tossed him a reverse yesterday for a 10-plus yard run. And anytime you're getting 10-plus yards runs in this league, that's a great play. And so they pitch him a reverse yesterday. But maybe they can attack the Denver defense, keep them honest in the run game, attack their 11 personnel, their nickel defense on the ground, and maybe slow down that pass rush a little bit, maybe help out your tackles a little bit against number 58, Von Miller.
Yeah, we'll be talking to him a lot this week. Eric, thanks for this. We'll talk as the week moves along. We appreciate it.
No, my pleasure. Looking forward to seeing you guys this weekend.
Yep.
All right, Eric.
Eric Wood, color analyst on the Bills Radio Network, does a great job there. Former Bills center joining us on the line, and got a lot of good thoughts. He's already done homework on the Broncos. He's ahead of me. Now I'll have to start getting work on the Broncos tonight.
Yeah, well, it's just a grind, man. Get your nose to grindstone. Let's go. Yeah.
I will. Josh Allen coming up on the show in a couple of minutes. Come on back for that. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. Victory Monday.
Josh Allen's on his way over. These quarterbacks, man, you have to schedule everything with them, right? They can't just show up.
That's right. We're happy to have Josh.
He must be busy this time of year.
Eric brought it up. I think so, too. That might have been his best game. He's had good games, mostly against the Dolphins, by the way. But what do you have, 3 passing touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns a year ago, right, in December against Miami?
That's right.
And he played great yesterday, too. I think he played might have been his best game in the NFL, 21st NFL game. What do you think?
You always want them to have their best games against division rivals.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And he has. We'll see. He played really well. Played really well.
Let's check.
Go ahead. Ran it. I mean, he made some throws that were good. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
He was able to do yesterday and the step forwards he's taken, and we're sitting here you mentioned it earlier in the show. He gets critiqued moment by moment, and he has for two and a half years or whatever it is, 18 months now since they drafted him last April. I mean, everything he's done has been under the microscope, and he's taken more steps forward than he has back. But like we said, he's not finished yet. He's got a long way to go before he comes. And I think the thing we're seeing after a game like yesterday, they see some consistency, more consistency. He's done that certainly by cutting out the bad plays, the turnovers and stuff. And we're going to have him on here on the show in a couple of minutes. But just, I might have to ask him, what's it been like, man? You're living your life under the microscope.
Yeah, we'll ask him. You know? Yeah, Josh coming in. Our Twitter poll today, what's the number one factor in the Bills' victory over the Dolphins? Is it Josh? Taking 1,000 votes already on this. The number one factor in the Bills' victory over Miami, what was it? What do you think? On Twitter, two-thirds of you, 69% say a great day for Josh Allen. 15% say the defense's performance. 12% say a huge day for John Brown. 3% have something else in mind. Whatever you think, vote in the Twitter poll. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. As I said, 69% answer is a great day for Josh Allen.
What do you think about that, Josh?
What do you think about that, Josh Allen, joining us right now on the set?
What do I think about it?
Yeah.
Everybody's giving you credit for the win. No, that's so unusual for a quarterback, I know.
Our line played outstanding yesterday. Obviously, Smoke had a fantastic day. Our defense played well. Coach Dable called an amazing game. It was a total team win, for sure.
I was going to ask you, what was the thought behind it? What did it mean? What effect did it have, Dable being upstairs? Any?
I mean, it just allowed him to see some things differently. I think getting kind of a bird's eye view, and especially as an offensive coordinator, easier to see personnel change on the defense, easier to kind of see how they're playing things. You know, on the sideline we get pictures, but it's not the same.
Yeah, and just to be clear, the mechanics of it are, Brian talks directly to you, or is Ken Dorsey on the loop there as well, or how do that work?
I mean, when I'm on the field, it's just Dave's in my ear. But okay. When we go on the sideline, Dorsey and Dave's are communicating constantly, so Dorsey's kind of feeding me information, and then if Dave wants to talk to me, he'll call the phone, I'll get on the phone, and I'll talk to him. So.
And when you're in the field, it's the 15-second cutoff still, right?
Correct.
Did he go right down to 15 seconds much of the time?
We got our plays
were in
pretty
up-tempo
quick
anyway.
Yesterday. Yeah, so, you know, he called the plays in very quickly yesterday, and we tried to get out there and tried to execute as best as we could.
What'd you think of the no-huddle, the hurry-up?
It was nice, yeah. It you know, allowed us to make some checks at the line and kind of get ourselves in an advantageous situation there. So don't know if that's what we're going to continue to do, but, you know, week to week, everything's different, but it worked for us this past week.
Right. Josh Allen, Bills quarterback in studio with us for a couple of minutes here. The start of the game was big, and we were wondering whether Hauschka's 51-yard field goal sort of set the tone. Everybody's like, okay, we got Hauschka back, let's go, because everything kind of snowballed after that. You went up 13-0, right?
Yeah, no, it was great to see him get back out there and doing what he does. And, you know, it was a good game for our confidence, I think, and allowed us to kind of get back on track and kind of showed what we can be as long as we go out there and execute. And I think on all three phases, we did pretty well.
Josh, how much did you internalize what you said, Sean McDermott said last week, play fearless? How much did you think about that last week and even going into the game yesterday?
I mean, it just kind of gave me a green light to go out there and play free and not to worry about things, not to worry about interceptions, not to worry about, you know, turning the ball over, not to worry about an incompletion here or there. Obviously, there's still a lot of things that I want to clean up and still have to clean up. But I went out there and, you know, put the ball downfield and, you know, our guys made some plays and our line blocked tremendously. We had zero sacks yesterday, which is fantastic. So I owe them something special here pretty soon.
Yeah, yeah. Brian Dable's gotten some compliments today about the game he called. And I was going to ask you, certainly we saw the team play with a lot of enthusiasm, some kind of fire, and that fearless attitude you talk about. Could you feel the coaching staff maybe turn it up a notch? And if Sean McDermott told you guys to play fearless, do you think he had that same conversation with his coaching staff?
I'm sure he did, but, you know, as an offensive staff, we weren't stressing. We weren't trying to put more pressure on us than we needed to. We wanted to go out there. We wanted to execute how we know we can execute. I don't think anything really changed in that aspect. But it feels good to go out there and put up 37 points against a defense that has been playing well the last 4 or 5 weeks. They really have been. So to go out there and execute and you know, show some promise of what we can be.
A couple of touchdowns to ask you about. Let me ask you first about the first one, the 40-yard pass. To Josh Allen, you threw a rope down there. That had to feel pretty good to connect like that. Huh?
Yeah, no, we got cover two there, and I checked out of what we had. And I told John previously we had that same look to the same play, you know, a quarter earlier. And I said, you know, after seeing some film work and seeing those safeties kind of being nosy, I said, if we get this look again, be ready for it. And, you know, luckily we got the same thing. And post-snap, I saw them getting to two, so I wanted to give a little pump fake and then you know, John did his job and caught the ball and made a man miss and got in the end zone.
Let me skip ahead to the second John Brown touchdown pass where you kind of you rolled one way and threw it back the other way. That's not an easy – and by the way, that's a kind of a fearless pass to make there, isn't it?
Yeah, he got tipped. It was a little tight, a little small window there, but got the job done. And, again, he's in the right spot at the right time. And luckily a little tip didn't bother the pass too much.
Yeah, we were going to ask you, too, that we got a highlight of you running the ball in on the rollout where you kind of looked around and then you just decided to carry it in. You're coming in and the safety's coming down. Take us through your thought process. Are you thinking, okay, should I slide? Should I dive? Should I try and avoid the hit? Should I run out of bounds short? And when did you decide, you know what, I'm just going to make this guy take me on and score the touchdown?
Well, if I recall, it was third down. Yeah. So at that point, I wanted to get in the end zone, obviously, and give ourselves a touchdown. But, we had a good combination call. They played man coverage to it, and they had a good defensive call to match that. So I took off, and I saw the safety's angle, tried to give him a little hesitation just to slow him down for a second so I can catch the edge there, and luckily got in.
I know the coaching staff and outside observers have talked to you about kind of self-preservation. That doesn't seem to be in play on a run like that, right? You basically sell out, right? And you took a hit, actually.
It wasn't a huge hit. I mean, he pushed me a little bit, but it wasn't anything crazy. And, you know, we were running basically the same direction. So when you got that going on, the impact isn't too much. It's when you're running directly at each other in the opposite direction.
Feliciano might have given you a harder hit.
Yeah, I got up and he was right there. He was down there quick.
Don't
yeah,
your back out catching a 320 pounder.
Yeah, you know, and we talked about in our meeting today. So
don't do that.
We got to let him know. Just take it easy.
Ty and Secchi left the game. The good news is if he's out for a while or even a long while, Cody Ford's stepped in there. I mean, he's played there. It's not like you're throwing somebody new into the breach here.
Yeah, I mean, we're all praying for Ty, and I hate to see anybody get hurt. And he's been a big part of our offense, just stepping in when he needed to, kind of him and Cody going back and forth at that right tackle position. He's been fantastic, his mindset, how he plays, he's aggressive. He's definitely an anchor on the line. He's a big dude, too.
Right.
Holy crap.
He's really big. I've seen him around.
But, it sucks that happens. It's football. We drafted Cody for a reason that high, so – we expect nothing different from him to go out there and play like he did yesterday.
So we have this Twitter poll, and a lot of people are giving you a lot of credit for being the difference, a 17-point win. That's big in the league, right? Mm-hmm. What's the game feel like to you? What do you think after you come off the field, you guys score, hang 37 on the Dolphins, whatever their record is notwithstanding, how does that game feel to you? What did you come out of there saying, did this better, did this worse, did that, what are your thoughts about your own game and the way that game went Sunday?
I thought we played pretty well. Again, looking at it from my situation, I try not to get too high or too low, understanding that there was a lot of things that I missed. A couple checks here or there, a couple ball placement issues, some of the shorter stuff. And so I got to, tone in on that this week and find more completions there and get our guys the ball in space so they can make some plays.
You talk about getting too high or too low. Steve and I were talking about it last hour. It seems to me that, and you've 21 NFL starts now, but you are judged sometimes on an almost weekly basis by media, by fans even. Oh, yes, great game. He's the guy. Oh, no, he didn't do this. Maybe he's not the guy. Yeah, your perspective, it seems to me, is sort of big picture sometimes. Do you
For
care
sure.
when you hear the weekly – it's like a weekly referendum on how is Josh doing this week?
Listen, you can't make everybody happy. I know that. And, I'm not worried about trying to make people happy. I'm trying to put our team in situations and positions to win football games, and that's all I care about.
You seem to do well against the Dolphins. Now, you've got a little record here against the Miami Dolphins, right?
I guess so.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Maybe it's the warm weather down there. I don't know.
Going forward, Denver Broncos coming in. You got the team a day off from the win yesterday, which is kind of a nice little bonus. You start doing it in the second half of the year. It's nice to, the more rest you get sometimes, the better. Heals you up a little better. Going forward, you got Denver Broncos coming in who jumped out an early lead. And they've got a defense that's almost as good as the one you play with in your own building. What's that say about – going forward, you look forward to the challenge.
They got some dudes on that side. They got a lockdown corner over there. Obviously, we know about Von Miller and his success in the last few years in the NFL, one of the most dominant pass rushers in the league. So, you know, we got to be ready. They're coming into our house, and, you know, they suffered a pretty tough loss last week or yesterday. So I'm sure that they're going to be feeling that one, and they're going to be hungry for a win, and they're coming into our place, and they're going to be tuned up. So we got to be ready for that and kind of take care of any shots that they give us early and just roll with the punches, and got to go out there and execute.
How much fun is this to be 7-3 going into late November now?
It's fun. We want more. You know, we know that. We know what number we typically need to get into the playoffs. So we just got to try to keep stacking wins week in and week out and preparing like we're preparing, not trying to change anything and not trying to do anything drastically different. And kind of came Coach Bull, my coach in Wyoming, said you dance with who you brung.
Right.
So try not to do anything different. He's super old school, so shout out Coach Bull. He had a bunch of sayings.
Last question for me. Yesterday, John Brown had a big game. Probably his biggest as a Bill. He's become your – you know, you target him more than you target anybody. And I think even the one guy who was calling for him to be signed is Murph. Even before free agency, Murph said, that's the guy we want. He saw him, you know, 2 years ago.
I'm a scout.
Right. Yeah. See, give us a little insight on what your ideas are about John, how dependable you think he is. You obviously throw the ball in just about any situation you feel like it, and he's really come through more often than not.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say enough about the guy. How he prepares, how he attacks each and every day, the type of man that he is, the type of father that he is. I mean, he had a great game yesterday, but he also gave 30-something, 40-something tickets to kids that had good grades over there in mm-hmm. Miami. So, I mean, to kind of have that type of person in our locker room, a guy that's just genuinely a good dude, you know, and then he goes out on Sundays and he performs like that. And, you know, he's one of my – I think everybody can say he's one of their favorite guys on the team just because nobody can say a bad thing about the guy. He's just one of those guys that you love being around, you know, and – he can play some dang football, too.
Yeah.
We thank you for coming on. It's Players' Day off. Why are you here? You working?
What
are you doing? Meetings?
Some more film work. And got my workout done today. Probably hop in the sauna here in a few minutes and call it a day.
If you stay, we'll turn the heat up.
Yeah. I like that.
Thanks for coming in. It's great seeing you.
We appreciate it. Josh Allen, Bills quarterback, joining us. Steve and I coming back with more One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Ready to go, in the gun, takes the snap, looks into the end zone, has time, gets away from some pressure, rolls right, going to keep it and run with it at the 5, headed to the corner of the end zone, is he in? Yes, touchdown Buffalo, Josh Allen, touchdown.
Little 9-yard touchdown run by Josh Allen from the Hunt Real Estate Red Zone. Visit huntrealestate.com to score on all of your real estate needs. We thank Josh Allen for joining us. Boy, he was, not that this is a big deal, but he's relaxed in here. He was calm, you know, it was cool. It's good having Josh in here. Go over some of the plays of the game. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Were you here?
I was here.
Yeah.
Good to see him. He looks good, man.
He does. In here working on the day off.
He's as tall as a tree. And yeah, just it was a good game yesterday. It gives you some hope and some confidence that the future is going to be good with him. And
sure.
You know, he's got a sense about him that, you know, he's on this. It's starting to make sense to him, you know. Go ahead.
Well, the point, and I don't mean to belabor the point, but we can't have a weekly referendum on Josh Allen. We can't go week to week like, is he good enough? Oh, yeah, this week he is. Next week, oh, I don't know if he is the guy. You know, let's let the season play out. Even like we're talking about him, and he's sitting there saying, nah, I don't really care what's being said. That's, you know, I think we all have to kind of take a half step back and say, look at what Josh has done. Look what he's doing. It's fine to point out his shortcomings. There are some. Areas that need improvement, yes, absolutely. But you don't need to have an election every week as to whether he's the guy or not. Well, yeah.
No. When I started doing the CBS thing, was doing national games all over the NFL, you'd get a chance to sit down with young quarterbacks all the time. Because, you know, I was like the fourth crew, fifth crew, sixth crew, whatever. Whatever
crew
we were.
Right,
we were seeing the young quarterbacks who were on these teams that we're building. And you'd get a load of them, you know, in their rookie year where you come in and sit down and talk with them, and man, oh man, it was just flying around them, you know. I mean, it's going crazy. And they were Well, like Josh was a little bit last year, he comes across as kind of a high school kid where he's just trying to, you know, trying to say the right things, doesn't want to, you know, doesn't want to make a mistake, that kind of thing. And even in the interviews, in the interview process, in the production meetings we used to do with these young guys. And then, you know, the ones that you could see, the ones they all are going to struggle, you know, to a certain extent. But how they handled those struggles, and the next time you saw them when they weren't playing well, it was a tough stretch of the season, how they handled that interview differently, or whether it was better or worse. And you can see this guy we just spoke to, Josh Allen, he's evolving into a mature quarterback who has the wherewithal to carry the conversation. You're seeing something in him. It's just the glimmer, not fully fledged, but he's just a little bit different now than he was, mm-hmm. you know, 8 or 10 months ago. He's a little different guy, talks differently, and carries himself a little different. Like you said, he was sitting here, he couldn't have been more comfortable.
I guarantee if we had turned up the heat like a sauna, like what he was headed to, he might have just stayed here and talked.
he was perfectly comfortable.
Throw him a towel?
And nothing was too big for him. He had answers for everything. He could talk about, you know, his vocabulary's changing. Everything about him, you know.
Yeah, growing up.
He is.
23 years old.
He's growing up. You go in and talk to guys like Philip Rivers now or Eli Manning, and these guys like Ben Roethlisberger and Drew Brees and all these quarterbacks that have been around a while. It is a completely different type of conversation you have with them than it is with a guy like a Josh Allen, particularly Josh Allen from last year. And he's moving in the direction towards those guys pretty fast, apparently. So it's interesting. I don't know if I articulated it well. There's a change in the guy.
I see it.
And I don't see him all that often.
Yep.
You know? There's some things on the horizon for him.
Yep. A lot of Bills talking after the game yesterday, and we had cameras and microphones in the locker room. Time to take a trip around the locker room. Brought to you by Connect Life Blood and Organ Donor Network. Here we go, around the locker room. Head coach Sean McDermott, he got a full 60-minute effort from his team.
I thought they had the eye of the tiger. They really did. And that, you know, those guys will tell you it wasn't an easy week. And so that just shows the amount of resiliency in the group and the amount of leadership, the player-driven leadership, not my leadership, their leadership. And they take a lot of pride in their work.
Quarterback Josh Allen, the offense did not let up against Miami.
We don't want to get content in what we do. You know, being up however we were, you know, they got a good quarterback over there that's, you know, no stranger to being in those types of situations and rallying a team and bringing them back. So we understood what we had to do. We wanted to continue to move the ball and try to put up as many points as we could. And so that's what we tried to do.
Running back Devin Singletary on his role and the scoring output against the Dolphins.
That was big. You know, we wanted to get past, you know, all the mistakes that we had. We wanted to get rolling, and the day we got rolling.
You feel more of a rhythm being more involved like that?
I wouldn't say that. I feel like I was always in a good rhythm, you know, but the day was fun.
Linebacker Tremaine Edmonds on the message he delivered to the team on Saturday night.
What I was feeling at the moment, and those guys got trust in me, man. So, you know, me being a leader, you know, I just wanted to take my leadership a step forward and just talk to the team. You know, I don't want to really get into details because, you know, it's really for the team, you know, it's really for the players. You know, I wanted to express that with the players. So, you know, I think the guys heard me, man, and I like the way they responded to that.
Like I said, it is you stepping out of your comfort zone a little bit.
Yeah.
Did you feel like that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of guys, they look at me as a laid-back guy. I am, though. But, I mean, you know, I wouldn't say it's out of my comfort zone. A lot of guys just don't look at me like that, so they probably think it is. But it's always been in me, man, so I just wanted to express it to my teammates. I just wanted them to know. And, I mean, they responded well, and I can't thank them enough.
Linebacker Lorenzo Alexander, a big bounce-back game for the Bills.
I mean, it's huge. I mean, obviously, you know, get your confidence back. It still wasn't perfect after, obviously, the kickoff return game. Or kickoff game from our point wasn't very good today. But it's huge. I mean, anytime you win games, you know, you get back on to the path where you want to go. And you never want to get on a losing streak. And so when you lose, we want to be able to bounce back. It's huge for us so we can get back on the winning streak and stack some games up, build confidence as we continue on this path trying to qualify for the playoffs.
Safety Micah High getting consistent pressure on quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You know, just speeding up the quarterback a little bit. You know, we felt like we had to get pressure on him. in the back end. You know, ball was going to come out. You know, we felt like we gave him some plays in the back end, but easily correctable. Just good job by the front today, just getting after the quarterback. Getting, I don't know how many sacks they had, but it seemed like they had a lot.
And
seven? Yeah, that's a lot. They did a good job getting pressure on him.
Defensive tackle Jordan Phillips on the Bills' defensive performance against Miami.
Felt like Miami was kind of the one that started the rushing attack, and when we came out there, we shut them down today in the run. That was our goal. And not only did we shut them down in the run, we had seven sacks.
How much does it mean for you to do that here?
This was just a stepping stone on where we want to be.
There you go, around the locker room, brought to you by Connect Life Blood and Organ Donor Network. Chris Brown standing by to join us. We got the Maddies coming up with Maddie Glab in the third and final hour of the show. Come on back. One Bills Live presented by Collada Health. Live from the Seneca Studio, Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing comes close.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.